You know, it's another one of those cases where I wish I had met this person sooner. Republican candidate for Comptroller Darlene Singer is joining us on the phone this morning. Darlene, seriously, I really regret not meeting you earlier, especially after our chat before we went on the airs, but we get a chance to catch up today.
Yes, good morning. Thank you.
You know, you have an interesting career. Starting at Purdue, working your way through, then you work in the banking industry, then you become a state representative, and then on to the comptroller's race. You really have been a busy person once you rolled out of college, a long list of accomplishments. You've been, well, very busy.
Yeah, and I did, you know, actually I got an MBA from DePaul University in Chicago, and I worked for a company called SEI. We were in Chicago. We were institutional pension consultants, and I did a lot of work on the pension problem when in the state house. So got a lot of good financial money skills.
Well, I think you must need an army to work on pension when it comes to Illinois, don't you? I mean,
yep.
We literally have been doing a series of interview with one Brad Cole, the executive director of the Illinois Municipal League, and then the Illinois Policy Institute, about in some municipalities in southern Illinois, 98 cents of every property tax dollar going to the fire department goes to pensions. And then it's like 99 cents of every dollar for police pensions. And and if you've got a monster in the room, that's it. I mean, isn't it in the state of Illinois?
It's, you know what, it is a monster in the room, and it's still the biggest problem the state has to solve, no question whatsoever. But, you know, I'm running for comptroller because I've got some good policy ideas, not only to put the treasurer and the comptroller together to save you some money, but there's some good ideas from other states. Indiana's an example of how police and fire pensions can be invested. This is just an invested portion in one pot and save municipalities a lot of money. So ideas to save the state taxpayer dollars and some property tax dollars.
We can't save our way out of this, though, because the problem is so big. I mean, it's going to take multiple disciplines. I mean, just now catching up, when I spoke with your competitor, the incumbent, earlier on Tuesday, I believe it was, you know, it was over 5 years people had waited for back pay. We are terrible money managers in this state.
Oh, no question. And you know, and there's, going back to the pension issue, I mean, if you look at it historically, everything you could have done to mess up a pension, our legislators did. I mean, this is both sides of the aisle. So it's, you know, this money is something that you need to have someone who understands actuarially how it works, and a legislator, you know, no fault of their own, don't necessarily have those basic skills and fundamentals for everything. So it's one of those things where you need to have the right people running the ship to say, hey, this is actually unsound, and that hasn't been done. So it's no question at all. There is a lot of work that needs to be done on the pension problem. And here's the good news: we have answers to fix the thing. It's just to get the political will to do it.
We're talking this morning with Republican candidate, comptroller candidate Darlene Singer. These ideas you just talked about when it comes to dealing with the pensions, because this is another one. I kind of look at this almost like running for judge. I mean, when you go into the comptroller's office, not about politics, it's about priority. It's about observing the law. It's about paying the state's bills. While at the same time finding out, I guess there are nuances between how things are handled. But when it comes to this, you'd think ideally it's first bill in, first bill out, and that's your job all day long.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the comptroller's office is paying the bills. You know, again, it's a function of getting the monies in and then dispersing the monies. And a lot of it has to do with court orders and on what gets paid, and salaries for state employees and legislators are one of the court orders that basically says that has to be done. But it's more than that. It has also to do with how the state functions. For example, if you look at basically the person I'm running against, Mendoza, in the state house when she was a legislator with myself there also, you have to pass budgets that don't spend more than what you bring in. And if we have unpaid bills and if we have the difficulties of having to make a choice on who gets paid first, second, third, because we don't have the money to pay them, it's due to the fact that we've passed spending bills that are spending more than what we're bringing in.
This year they're saying...
And she's done that.
They're saying this year, Darlene, $1.5 billion more than what we're bringing in.
Well, they're, yeah, 1.5, and, you know, some of that got corrected in regards to, and I don't know all the details on it, but it had to do with taxes, sales taxes on internet sales that did federally get approved. So I don't think it's quite that big, but I'm sorry, I'm hoarse here too.
Right.
But again, it's, you know, it's really a function of making sure we don't spend more than what we're bringing in and revenue-wise.
Right. When you served on the Naperville City Council, according to your website, you worked to reduce property rates and then improve the city's infrastructure and enhance the community's public safety network. All right, downstate infrastructure is something that's coming up in a lot of mayors and city councilmen's minds. But reduce property taxes, it's something that comes up because the reducing property taxes, the stuff you did there in Naperville, the city council there, people, whenever I, you know, candidates come in the studio and they go, I'm going to reduce property taxes. Well, you really can't because that money's spoken for and everybody wants a reduce in property taxes. But until we learn to manage our money better, invest better, not pay 653 different investors to look after the pensions for each one of those locations, those property taxes aren't going to go down until we address those other issues. Am I wrong?
No, you're totally right. And part of, you know, again, if you look at the overall cost of everything that has to be done to run, you know, not only your local governments, but your state governments and the rest, there's a lot of good policy things that can be put in place, but they're difficult because politicians don't want to say, hey, I'm no longer there because I'm going to do a consolidation, or hey, I can give up my power to say I have to invest my money locally. I can do it on a consolidated basis with the state. So there's, you know, again, there's good policy things that can be done to reduce property taxes. And I'll cite, you know, again, Indiana does another thing. They have one office. It's the treasurer office. And the other thing they offer, and this helps with property taxes again on local level, and this is good policy, is they have a bank for the state that helps municipalities when they need to improve infrastructure. They can go to the state of Bank of Indiana and get a loan lesser than what they would have to do otherwise to rebuild their bridges.
Right.
That's good stuff. So there's good policies out there.
It's interesting because I was just reading about that with the North Dakota State Bank. The state has its own bank. And I was really, I didn't realize that, that you could do that. And I'm thinking, what a great idea, especially when it comes to dealing with your own entities inside the state. Estimated general funds backlog today, as of 8 a.m., $7,713,061,563.48. That is a huge backlog. Before I let you go this morning, I want to talk a little bit about this treasurer comptroller putting the two offices together. I think Illinois voters have been teased with this concept for about 15, 16 years at least.
Right. And here's the thing that's most concerning here is the whole issue is basically your ability to vote on whether or not the two offices should be combined. So this is a constitutional amendment that the General Assembly has to place on the ballot for a vote. In 2012, the Senate basically unanimously passed this thing to go to the House to say, hey, let's give you the opportunity to say up or down on this, and it will save some money. And again, they're just basic functions. But what Madigan did is block it, and he's blocked it multiple times. And it's and Mendoza is on record on saying this also. It's due to something that happened in the 1950s that had to do with an embezzlement of some funds of $6 million, which if you think about it, you know, this is paper stuff or whatever. So in 1970, when the last Constitution was opened for amendment, for change, he said two offices. So we're one of the very few states that have two offices, and there's only Illinois and four others that do have a comptroller and a treasurer. Most 49 states have a treasurer component only. So this is, again, this is good policy, save you some money, but more importantly, it has to do with your right to say up or down. And, right. and it frustrates me to not give you the ability to do that.
I'm going to have to go look at what happened in 1950 now. You know that.
Yep.
I'm a little curious. I'm not surprised because, you know, with corruption being what it is historically in Illinois, and every time I read another book about it, I'm like, wow, if you don't, I've got a car lot, and if you don't buy my cars, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, we've done some weird stuff in the state, so now I've got to go look that up,
yeah.
too.
Hey, yeah, but the thing is, it's 1950 and then 1970, they split the two apart, and you know, a lot of opinion is it's more about having people employed than it is your tax dollar.